Again, we are welcome to today's School of Prayer. We are going to learn how to pray. And now before we continue, that is by through the teaching, let's take our declaration of understanding. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
That doesn't sound ready. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
All right, that's nice. All right, let's take our declaration. One, two, let's go. Now I declare.
Now I declare.
That the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord is good.
All the time.
Let's take our seats and get ready to drink of the Spirit of God and to pray. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy chapter 32. I'd like us to just take a text from there. All right, before we read it, let me just remind us of what we've been talking about and then tell us what we want to talk about today. Now, remember, praise is not a way of provoking God, tickling Him, exciting Him. He doesn't get excited by our praise. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
He never loses control because somebody is praising Him. Praise works on you. It doesn't work on the Lord. I need to say that one more time. Praise works on you. It does not work on the Lord. Praise works on who?
On me, on us, on the
person who is praising. Again, let's remember, what praise does is to give you an accurate description of the situation, that is where the power lies, who's in control, who's in charge. That is what praise does. That is in respect to the person of the Almighty. Do you get my point? So if I'm talking in a class on science students, and they say, life came out of nothing, that 14 point something billion years ago, there was an explosion of gargantuan proportions, like one man said it. According to him, a cataclysm of gargantuan proportions. And out of the soup of nothingness, in which particles formed out of nothing, and they jammed against each other, randomly produced life after a few billions of years. And after more billions of years, the life became complex. So I said, where did it come from? Say, I came out of nothing. And I said, no, it's not true. Now listen to this. And I said to them, in the beginning, first there was a beginning, God created, that means He was before the beginning. Because if there is a beginning, sorry, if you are creating in the beginning, you did not start in the beginning. It's common sense. In the beginning, God created. So a God who was before the beginning ignited, even if what you said really happened, physically speaking like that, even though we know it did not happen. I can give you the proof that it didn't happen like that. Because those who said it happened like that, they keep changing their minds every few years. So that's proof for me that it didn't happen like that. After 10 years, they'll tell you, no, that's not exactly what happened. They tell you another thing that happened. What does that tell you? They don't know what happened. But let's even assume it happened the way they described it. Physically speaking. And I say, in the beginning, the God who existed before the beginning set in motion this energy movements, creation of hydrogen atoms, helium, and the fusion and the fission of all of those things. I say He's the mind behind it. He's the force behind it all. I'm saying this in a science class. That's called praise. Do you get my point? That is praise. It's not because I lifted up my hands. No, I'm just describing the accurate thing that happened. They said it came out of nothing. I said, no, this is the person who made it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Do you get it? That is praise. I accurately described the situation in respect to God. Do you follow? So, if I say He's the one that heals, that is praise. Now, He doesn't need information. I need information. Do you get my point? He doesn't need information. I'm the one that needs information. And the people I'm discussing with, the people I'm in company of, they are the ones that need the information, not God. So praise is describing God accurately, as much as you can, for your own self to hear and for your brethren to hear. As for him, how do I say this? There's nothing you want to tell him that he didn't know. But when you are praising God, you are redirecting your own focus. You are speaking to your heart, actually. And that is very important when it comes to building up faith. I've said it again and again. One of the things the world tries to do, okay, is to undermine faith. I need to say this again. When you send your children to school, please, every day, tell your children what they will hear if you are going into an environment where they will hear the opposite. And tell them what's the truth. Many of us live in countries right now where it is difficult. It really is difficult. Seriously. Children go to public schools in some parts of the world. It's assault on their faith day and day. You know, they don't school at night. I'm just, you get my point? Day in, day out. Every day is an assault on their faith. They keep on trying to explain to them that there is nothing like they won't attack it directly. They just be talking normally. Then, you know, the way children are, if they come from Christian homes and they will speak up in class, maybe they are primary school children, and they mention the name of God and what they know about creation, the teacher calls them to order. And if the child doesn't stop talking, in some schools, the child can be sent home. There's a video of a Nigerian woman who actually went to the school somewhere in UK, I think UK, Europe, somewhere there anyway, and was confronting the school teachers. What do you mean? My child just offered her understanding. And the child was being disciplined, was sent on suspension because he wouldn't stop speaking the things that are in agreement with the scriptures. I didn't know that in some countries such things will happen, but they are happening. So what is praise? Like I said, it helps your faith. You are the one that benefits from praise, not God. Please, wipe it off your mind that you are doing him a favor when you are praising. A lot of us Christians still think we owe God praise. No, you owe yourself. Do you follow my point? Yeah, you owe yourself to constantly praise God. It's you are helping. No, you are not helping him. It is you are helping. You are not helping him. Get my point? Take it off your mind as if when I praise God, he will bless me. It's not true. He doesn't owe you a blessing because you praised. However, you can provoke a blessing because you praised. Do you know why? Suddenly, you have created a connection to the source of your blessing because your eyes got properly directed. Your faith is boosted. Now, what God had for you cannot be released. Now, not because, Steve did a good job this morning praising me. Gabriel, is there a blessing there? Yeah, give me small. Go and give praise. Go and give it to Steve. Because the praise he gave me this morning, I'm still recovering from it. Let's be honest. We have that thought in our mind. We do. And I'm saying, please, perish that thought. It's not a good one. It's wrong. It's erroneous. It's very erroneous. If God were to respond to your praise like that, in quotes, let's just try and be human about his response. You know what he will say? Gabriel, this boy's head is now getting correct. I don't know where you're getting my point. He said, Steve was here this morning. He's telling Angel Gabriel or Michael. And Gabriel said, what happened? He finally recognized who's taking care of him. He thought it was his smartness before. Do you get it? You know, he's been traveling up and down and he's been safe. He thought it's because he had a good car. And he flies, you know, there's one airline. He doesn't have time for all the masha airlines, so that he doesn't know the pilot. He normally verifies the integrity or the identity, the training certificate of the pilot. And he checks whether the airline, they are up to date. So that's why he's been saved. That's what he's been thinking. So, well, Gabriel, he came here this morning. Last time he was landing, 3 tires of the plane did not come out. They landed on the grass. So he came this morning to say, God, I actually saw your angel carrying the plane. So I didn't know all this while you've been the one taking care of me. Are you seeing? That's God's attitude. He's telling Gabriel, his head is rearranging. He didn't do him any favor. He says to Gabriel, come. Obina was here this morning. He said, what did he come to do? He came to praise. What happened? Gabriel is curious. And the Lord tells that, okay, you know, he finally understood that it's not his strength that has been feeding him. Because one day, he woke up in the morning, he had a large number of guests in his house, and made sure everybody had food, they ate. Then he entered his store, and the yam did not deplete. The rice did not go down. He bought 5 loaves of bread yesterday, they are still in the fridge. So he's still confused now as to where the food came from. So he came here this morning to finally, you know, now that he has finally recognized that I'm the one that's been giving him food, it's not his energy. Do you understand? It's not his energy, so his head is rearranging. That's God's attitude. Or maybe you're not somebody that's finally realized. You've always realized. Then he says to the angel, you know one of the things I like about my girl, Chioma? Say what? She's never confused as to who takes care of her, where her food comes from, where her protection comes from, where her health comes from. Every morning I hear it from her mouth. Can you see his disposition? It's not like, ha, somebody blow farm on me. I was praised this morning. My children, they praised me so they, even myself, I know say I'll be king. That is the igwe of your village. Are you getting my point? Yeah, that's it. You know, is a human king that gets excited. As for the Lord, he's, you know, Paul says something. He said, just talking to the Philippians about the money they were giving him. He said, I'm happy that you've rekindled your love for me. He said, I'm not saying because of my own lack, but I'm happy that much credit will accrue to your account. Why am I not excited? Because I've learned to bear abundance. I've learned to bear poverty. Before the Epaphroditus came with the money, and after he came with it, I was the same. That's the attitude. I'm using Paul's attitude now. See the way he related with the things that the people did. Now, if Paul could have that attitude, what attitude do you think God has? So praise is not at all. Please, I think a lot of Christians still don't get that thing. They have to get, because there's still this, let's help God. Let's make God happy. Please, let me say it again. The only thing I'm aware of that makes the Lord happy. Only thing. All right? Okay, let me say 2 things. What makes him happy most times is when he has succeeded in blessing you. Do you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
No, you don't get it. I don't think you got it well. That is, if you see God happy, it is that his blessing finally got across to you. And he's observing you dancing and he smiles. Do you get my point? He's excited. Yeah. It's your joy that makes him joyful. Yes. When his joy enters your life, and he sees, and it's in the scripture like that too. The Bible says concerning Jesus Christ, that in Isaiah 53, that he will see the result of the travail of his soul. And what will happen? He will be satisfied. He will be glad. He died on the cross, did all of those things. Then when he sees you saved and blessed and delivered, and he said, I didn't die for nothing. Then he's satisfied. The thing that personally excites God the Father, the Heavenly Father, just about us, that really, this one makes him happy and joyful. But the one that he gets so excited, that if it was possible, he can jump off from his throne. There's no way to jump to really, but you get my point. Let us know if it was possible. Do you know what that thing is? When he finds somebody who believes him totally, who trusts in him and rests in him 100%. I keep on saying this thing, I think it's necessary because a lot of Christians, we need to get it into the depth of our hearts. You know, if you have only one car, you bought it after a lot of work and saving, and it's shining, then you give it to the Lord. Is it good or bad? No, please. There's no catch to it. Is it good or bad? No, answer it confident, because some people are moving and say, oh, okay, what's your plan for my car? No, answer it confident. Is it good or bad? I'm not going to ask you to bring it to the altar. Answer like... But you are not saying it with conviction.
It's good.
Uh-huh. Now everybody join him. Is it good or bad?
It's good.
Do you think God will be happy? There's no catch. Don't worry. He's happy. Yeah. Now, you know what? That is what a lot of us think. That was God's reaction when Abraham sacrificed Isaac, his only begotten son. God made a sacrifice. And Abraham gave it. We are looking at this as what? A gift. As a gift. So when God said, in blessing, I will bless you. So, you know, a lot of us, preachers. I want to encourage people to give, like that car now. If I want to collect that Obinna's car, I may tell that story and say that when you give God something massive like that, God will swear massively to bless you. Now, as good as it is to offer such sacrifices to God, I'm not saying it's bad, please. Sometimes when I talk, people think I'm just being critical. No, I'm trying to set things right. That's why first we all came to an agreement that Obinna's car, if he gives us an offering, is a good thing. And I can give many stories in the scriptures. David did it. When they were going to build the temple, he gave all the treasures that he had stored up for the building of the temple, every single thing. And he encouraged everybody in Israel, the princes, to do the same. What are you doing with gold and silver? Bring it, let's build a house unto the Lord. So it's good. I'm not saying it's bad. God encourages us to give to the needy and all of that. It's all over the scriptures. However, what I'm emphasizing to you is that when Abraham gave Isaac, that was not what excited the Lord. We must get that clear. You know what excited him? I'll tell you. It's simple. Is that Abraham considered. Now, he didn't even give him the way you and I we should be giving gifts. When you give gifts to the Lord, what should you do? You should forget it. After, look, you want to help somebody, don't sow into the person's life. Help the person. You need money. You now hear that somebody needs money. So you say, oh, what I need is 1 million naira. I have only 10,000. This fellow needs 10,000. Let me give him 10,000 so that God can multiply it back to me. That's not giving. What is that? Investment. That's investment. That's it. And that's the wrong place to invest. You should go and invest such money in Bitcoin. All right? Okay. Oh, okay. No, go. Let him try now. What do you call it? Forex trading. I'm going to lose everything, but at least you can tell yourself that I'm trying. That's very wrong. Okay? Now, that's not the way we should give. Normally, how you give is, you give expecting nothing in return. That is scripture. People have tried to criticize that. No, as a Christian, by faith, you should, you are not giving, you are investing. So if you want to invest by faith, it's okay. Your own faith, though, not the Bible faith. You give to man of God, let him provoke blessing from him, will not command. See, let me tell you the truth. Let me not start. If I start now, I may get stuck there. That is not how to give. When you give, you don't hang around to collect blessing. There was one drama that, our guys? Vine Nation. They did one day. I really liked it. Well, Tor Reverend that acted that part of the big man of God. There's this lady that had gathered money, everything. Now, with her pastor was, she had all the money. I don't know how long she used to gather that money. Wrapped an envelope. Out of excitement, as pastor came from the car, wait a minute, Papa. Okay, I brought something for you. Papa said, oh, God bless you, and just walked on. She wanted to faint. She was waiting for him to pour forth blessings. See, if you see a man of God that will do that for you, you are blessed. Just and he keeps walking. It is God that owes you, not him. Do you follow my point?
Yes.
Don't go. You want to go and give an offering in church. You make sure pastor can see so that you now wait behind for your blessing. Okay, let me not say this one because it's like I'm looking for trouble. Let me tell you this. Sometimes, I'll say it. Sometimes, in churches like that, you know what we do? So that you will come again. Is why we spend all that amount of energy praying. Because if I don't do that, you won't come next time. Let me tell you how to be a mature Christian when it comes to giving. If they bless you, I'm not saying you shouldn't collect blessing. But don't hope on it. Once you give, you have given. Just give and be happy. You don't have to carry cash to church, transfer. Pastor doesn't have to know who did. Do it as unto who? To Lord. Please, let's just live our lives by faith. That is just follow the scriptures, don't stop this transactional behavior. So when they carry their tithe to church, they must collect communion. Where did you start? Where did you see that? Faith is laughing. I'm not joking. It's unnecessary. I'm telling you now. You know the logic? You don't know the logic? Abraham gave my kids and they gave him bread and wine. Bread, that was not communion. It was not communion. It was bread and wine. It was not communion. What we do as communion, Melchizedek did not break his body. He gave him food, normal food, entertainment. You know, I told you that if I get there, I might get stuck. Okay? When I'm going to move back, Obina, just watch me. Just watch me. Because I'm trying to get something across to us. Let's just leave, you know, get rid of this transactional behavior. Get rid of it. Get rid of this transactional behavior. If you have a tight booklet, I command you today, throw it away. I'm not saying don't give title. Do you understand my point? That's not what I'm discussing. It's your money. You should support your church. But the idea that you have to keep track so as to have something to show. You may belong to an organization that demands that. Okay, and you like them that way. Okay, follow them. It's an organization. Do you get my point? Like if five of us come up together and say we want to have a gathering of brethren, our law is everybody shall wear white shoes when they are coming to church. Please, wear your white shoes. It's not going to take you to heaven, is it? In the same manner, if you belong to an organization, that's how you guys want to arrive. But please, the idea of filling it so that when you want to pray, you keep the tie broken where God can see it. It's what I'm telling you has to stop. Some people think I'm joking. It's when you get injured, you will know that this thing I'm saying is Holy Spirit trying to help you ahead of time. Let's get rid of this transactional mentality. A woman fell sick. It's one of the most interesting ones I've ever heard. And he told one of our brothers, let me not mention his name. She went to see him. He went to see her, I think in hospital or something, to go and pray. And the woman wanted to know why she should be sick. After all, she gave her land to God. Do you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
After all, she gave her land, landed property, real estate, the only estate that is real, they tell us, that she gave it to God. Why should she be sick? You know, if you meet someone like that, if you ask me that kind of question today, I know the answer I'll give you. I say, is that land that's the cause of the sickness? Go and collect your refund. You will be healed. Some people think I'm joking. No, really, if they'll give the land back, if that church will agree to give you back, you will get healed. This pastor, he thinks you'll come and collect land back from him. Look at him. See, Pastor, are you serious about that? Yes. I think the lady, if she could, she'll collect the land back. If she could, it's going to be difficult. Hold it. Then take the medicine they are giving her in hospital. She's likely to get well quicker that way. And I'm not joking about what I said. For logistic reasons, it may be difficult for you to do that. So don't bother. Just let it be because of logistics. But if it's possible, please, ask for that your offering back. You will get well. I'm sure you are wondering what I'm talking about. I know. Because what made you sick is the wrong faith, is a transaction you are doing with God which He disapproved of. It's your demand for His blessing because you thought you paid for it. That's what's spoiling things in your life. So when you take it back, you will not come back to Him to pray. This time around, what do you have to say? Nothing. You didn't give Him anything? No. So God will say, okay, I'm the Lord that He led thee. So what do you want? Just as I am without one plea, but thou thy blood was shed for me. Do you get my point? That becomes the plea. Lord, please, see, I'm sick. I'm come from, doctor said you can't do anything. And I know you can do everything. I said, God said, what will you pay? He said, nothing. Pastor Banky said, I shouldn't, if I offer you anything, say, well, I'll go there. But I promise you one thing, Lord, if you heal me, I will tell you thank you. In fact, I'm saying thank you now that I have not even done it. Thank you for the strength to come. Thank you for the knowledge of you. Because without your grace, I wouldn't even know you. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. In fact, leave the healing first. Let me go home. Let me go and thank you for the ones you have done. That, brethren, is a better attitude. Listen to what the Spirit is saying. Get rid of that transactional attitude. Anything you do for God, you should count it a privilege. Do you follow my point? They beat Peter and Paul. Paul too later on, but Peter and John, and they flogged them. And how did they count it? They felt it was an honor to be beaten for the Lord. We gave money for the Lord and want Him to pay back. Steve, we gave money. They didn't beat us. And we want Him to. No flogging. You didn't lose blood. You just gave money, of which you have plenty anyway, on which He gave you strength to earn it. Please, put that word in your heart. Get rid of this transactional attitude with the Lord. I know what I was talking about before I got inside that, and I'll get back there in a moment. Get rid of this transactional attitude. I say one more time. Get rid of the transactional attitude. I will do for him that he might do back for me. And if you have been blessed, listen to this. If you have been blessed and you have any explanation for your blessing, beyond the fact that God is good and he promised and he fulfilled his word when your heart opened to him by faith, if your explanation is beyond that, there's a problem waiting for you ahead. Listen, I will say one more time. You've been blessed. It's not a prayer, Papa Steve. I'm trying to explain something. You've been blessed. Maybe you have money. You have a wife. You have children. You have health. Your company is growing. You are experiencing promotion. And then deep inside your heart, when you want to advise somebody, you are like, that's why it's good to be faithful in tithing. That's why it's good to be faithful in giving. That's why it's good to walk like this and walk like that. You describe the whole thing. That's why it's good. No, don't miss church. Oh. Somebody actually said this in my wife's hearing long ago. Somebody died. You know, the lady said, that's why I don't play with the things of God. Oh. She doesn't want to die. I said, this one there. You will die on the altar. It's people like you that die. See, you will come to church to sweep. As you are mopping, your mop will touch live wire. Someone I see some of this sometimes, people think I'm joking. It really happened one time. People were in church. Somebody was ministering in church. Ministering. And the microphone they were using, it shunted and electrocuted the person, and the person died. Jokes aside, I told you last time about pastors who, what in the middle of preaching, they fall down and die. As I told you last time, this thing you are seeing is a platform to carry our Bible. It's not anointed to keep anybody alive. If you lie there. God will just kill you publicly. Just to tell everybody that please, stop telling lies like that guy. Get rid of this transactional mindset. Like I was saying, so if you've been so blessed that unconsciously, deep inside, you know, let me say something there. Many things that we are thinking, we're not saying it to. A lot of the false worship that's in our lives is deep inside our heart. Nobody but God knows it's there. Even the angels, they can't suspect. And the angels don't know everything. It's the one you do, or the one you say loud in your heart that they can hear. There are some that are so deep inside that only God knows it is there. Even the angels are confused when God wants to judge. You know, the angels don't understand what's going on. There are things that prophets said, the angels don't understand. Is that not your Bible? The angels said something, and the prophet said something. The angels were looking over the shoulder of the prophet, saying, what are you writing, oh boy? Do you know what it means? Nah, no, me say, I don't know. They asked each other. They had to tell, you know, the angels said, I don't know. So they told the prophet, said, the Lord said, we should tell you that, don't worry, it's not for you. You don't need to know. Why should you know? Say, we say we don't know. That's the attitude of the angels. Sometimes angels don't know what's inside your heart. Really, I'm serious. Many times, all right? And Job described like this, that people sometimes secretly stretched or fold their hands to worship the moon. Nobody knows. There's a prayer convocation going on right now in Sokoto. I joined them this morning. There was something that... the man of God said, all right, not Pastor Chris, another minister there. You should join them. You'll be on now, maybe tomorrow morning. And even if you can, join, all right? They are streaming live. Also tremendously blessed. You know the funny thing? The thing I said last time that, you know, the last time that if you see a man of God, he say, I know I'm safe. Exactly what that's what he was saying. Leave that in. That there are people that are offending God. Only God knows. He told one story. When he finished telling the story, I said, God, can people be like this? But let's not sit there. Job said, people can secretly be worshiping the moon in their hearts. Many Christians, I'm sorry to say this, I'm very sorry, but I'm saying this for your own sake. Check your heart. Like I said, what one thing that was said this morning? When I heard this, read some things that people do, I'm shocked. And he was preaching, check your heart. Make sure, you know, Jesus looked at Nathanael, you know what he said? He said, an Israelite indeed. He said, a true Israelite. What did he say after that? In whom there is no guile. That's a tremendous compliment. Jesus looked at him and said, man, this guy's heart is pure. If he's serving, he's truly serving. Many people are not truly serving. They are serving themselves, not God. God is constantly owing them. For everything they do, they have a record. Let me now make my statement again. If secretly this thing is in your heart, in which you think you have been blessed because you did something for which God kind of is obligated or he owes you, and that fault is still remaining, even though we have corrected it again and again. Listen to the word of the Spirit. There are problems waiting for you ahead because God has to knock that nonsense thought off your mind. No matter how good a person you are, he has to. I don't start teaching about Job. It's one of the things he had to do to Job. Go and read Job chapter 29. You will see where Job had his confidence. Job had his confidence that if I do righteously like this, God will bless me like this. And he thought all the blessings he got, and God loved Job. But said, Job, this is not right. I need to bring you to the righteousness of faith. Let me end that section of my talk. End this transaction behavior. What behavior should you have? A number of things. Number one, have a behavior of gratitude. Count yourself privileged. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
Behavior of what?
Gratitude.
Yes. A behavior of gratitude. Count yourself privileged. Do you get? Just count yourself privileged. Count yourself privileged that, and the one God used to do this, that's nice. After all, we can't say our life is not important. We are doing something. Father God, we thank you. Count yourself privileged. Just think of the fact that you're a donkey. Do you get my point? And they chose you to carry the load. Do you understand? There was one man, just to give an illustration. You know, a big rock star. Literal, not figurative speaking. Literal rock star. He was into rock music and he was a star. And he gave his life to Christ. So you know what I mean? So he's a big star, gave his life to Christ. And then one day, so he now prayed one funny prayer. One of the desires he had as a baby Christian was to meet big men of God. And you know one he wanted to meet? Billy Graham. If I can meet Billy Graham, it would be nice. So one day, now listen to this. Remember, I told you that he's what? A rock star. So money, he had. Fame, he had. He knew people. You know how God arranged for him to meet Billy Graham? One day, say Billy Graham was coming to his city. One of his guys now called and said, oh boy, Billy Graham is coming. The guy said, can I meet him? Say, yeah, you can be his driver. Did you catch what I said? So the guy dressed up in the morning, enter what Americans would call a limo. It doesn't have to be stretch, all right? But a big car. And drove and stayed there, JJ, while they opened the door for Billy Graham to enter. And he was driving. A rock star. Do you get my point? Okay, let's take Nigeria. Davido. Now, let me feel like a big man. They say, Pastor Banky is coming to Ibadan. Do you get my point? And he said, can I meet him? He said, yeah. Okay. Bring down your Jeep now. Drive him around when he's around. So every time I come from my hotel, they open the door, I enter, I sit down. And they say, good morning, Pastor. I say, oh, it is well with you. And I continue talking like he's not important. I'm talking to important people behind. That's the only job they gave him to do. While Billy Graham was around, he drove him around town. And they were not having conversation. How can you be talking with man? Don't you have respect? But you know what? He was not writing the story. He considered it a privilege. So, boy, see, when that crusade came to town, I was the one that drove Billy Graham. You know, that was a bragging right. Like, yeah. You know Billy Graham. Me, I don't drive him before. And that was a rock star. He was a rock star. I read the story where he wrote it by himself. Now, let's get back to what we're teaching. That is the attitude we should have. Those is when you used to broadcast on satellite TV. So one day some people were watching our program somewhere. I don't know, they looked at it and said, huh. They liked it, you know. In Enugu here, they were watching. They said, huh, is this Nigeria? You know, somebody asked. So one of our guys now said, no, it's not the word you mean, it's Nigeria. It's not only Nigeria, it's Enugu here. They said, no, it's not Enugu. How can it be Enugu? Ah, it's Ude. Ude, they say, you don't understand.
I was the one that started the generator.
That's where I'm going.
Uday said, see, he said, what do you guys mean? They thought he was joking. He said, no, guys, the lights you are using to see this man, I put them on. We were using a generator. I started the generator. That's what I mean by privilege. That's what should be in your heart. You know the story I told one of our brothers? He called me one day, said, "Oga, I gave somebody, a young woman, I gave her a lift, and she was listening to the word of God." And he said, "What are you listening to?" "Ah," she said, "evangelizing. What Pastor Banke has taught." He didn't tell her that he knew me personally and that he gives to this ministry. He didn't tell her anything. He just kept on driving, got to where she was to drop her. He dropped her, told her bye-bye. They called me. He said, "Sir, pardon me to say, my money is working." Somebody say privilege. That is, we serve, we are preaching the gospel financially. Because the place is very far away from Enugu. And really, he knows that the money he gave, this is the kind of thing it is doing. So, the thing is being aired on radio here and there. And the young woman was listening. She had the stuff on her phone. Of course, she probably downloaded it. These things cost money. All right? And people are paying for it by giving offerings. Do you get? And he's one of them. So he smiled. People are getting blessed. My money is working. That is the attitude. That you should stand and feel happy. They preach the gospel here. Good. This whole village, there's a crusade. I heard that Digwe gave his life to Christ. That's good. That's the money I wanted to use to buy a car, but now I don't have a car. It doesn't matter. But at least Igwe is a Christian. In fact, let me volunteer for follow-up. I'm going to start a Bible study here. I don't have to go and be bragging to anybody. I just feel happy. So first, you get rid of the transactional mindset. One, be grateful. Have an attitude of what? Gratitude. That every time you're just happy. And then the attitude of what? Privilege. And there are two sides to it. One, the gratitude one is, you know you're a child of God. Everything you have is free. God gave it to you because he loves you. Your heartbeat, you didn't work for it. I keep on saying it. Before your brain started thinking, your heart was already beating. Write that down. That's a very nice rhyme for poetry. None of you can write songs. I've been giving you vibes seriously here. Before your brain started thinking, your heart was already beating. Which means you didn't even have the volition to sow a seed. Many people don't know it. Before your mother knew she was pregnant, your heart was beating. Yeah, fact. The heart forms very early. The heart forms very early. Most women are not aware they are pregnant when the baby's heart is already beating. How could you have sown a seed for that? It was beating before you had a seed to sow. It was beating while you were a sinner. When your offerings were not acceptable before the Lord, the heart was beating. That's what I mean. That's an attitude of just recognizing that, God, you gave it to me. Thank you. The Red Prince said that, why does God love you? He said, there's no way to explain. He said, Moses tried to explain why God loves you. You know the explanation he gave? He said, the Lord has done all of this. He has loved you, you know, because the Lord loved you. After talking here and there, what was the reason? He said, because the Lord thy God loved you. He said, Oga Moses, we say why? He said, that's the reason now. He loved you. The idea of loving you was initiated and totally autonomous to him. Initiated by him. Nothing moved, provoked it. Nothing that you did. You should be eternally grateful for that. That's the first side. The second side is that now that I have been loved, now that I have been given life, I can't live uselessly. Something must depend on me. I must be responsible for something. In this life, I must be responsible. In your mind, just look, I must be responsible. And anytime you are given the opportunity to be responsible, consider it what? A privilege. Like Pastor Courage will say, the moment Elijah said, it's only me, I, God said, hey, relax, there are 5,000 other men that have not bowed down to Baal. What is it? So I better go and hand over to Elijah. Talk. You know that's what Elijah was saying? He says, only me.
Now they are seeking my life. Say, God, they've killed all your servants. There's nobody remaining. Only I. Only I. This only me. Just only me. I. God said, come, come. Elijah, I gave you a job. See, there are 5,000 people that have not bowed down to Baal. Since you are feeling this I too much. See, go. Anoint Elisha in your stead. So God retired. Retired I. Yeah, I had to retire that day. So Pastor Craig will say, anytime he's preaching, he realize that if he misbehaves, God will just say, okay, you go. You find 5,000 people to come and do your work. See, is it always like that? Don't worry. Have that what? Attitude. Have that attitude. Never do anything and feel you are old. That's where I'm going with all of these things. Anything you have, thank you. Anything you have, thank you. Anything you don't have, thank you. That he has not seen a fit to give you yet. Not, why have you forgotten me? He didn't forget. Say, so you're not ready for it. Let's get back to our message. Did you read that portion? Huh? Some say yes. This man has Bible in his head, plain all the time. So he said yes. So what do we want to talk about? Yeah, you know, I was reminded of what we are doing. Praise of God, right? Yes. And so when you are praising, we are not paying. We are understanding. We are acknowledging. We are rightfully, we are getting the point. That's what praise is about. That's what praise is about. Now, so I've seen praises in different areas, and we may explain that again and again. There's one that the Lord placed on my heart, I believe is the Lord that placed upon my heart when I was meditating on what I should share with us today. I have a funny, I don't know whether the title is good. Let's just try and give it something. Okay. I want to talk about God's praise in the days of evil. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
What did I call it?
God's praise in the days of evil.
Yeah, in the days of calamity. In the days of trouble. Does he have praise with us? How should we praise him? And we must praise him appropriately. Remember I said earlier, if you don't get it right, you shorten, you truncate, you block the flow. Please, let me explain this. One of the things you are doing constantly in your life as a Christian is getting your altar right, you know, getting the stones in order, is setting the channels correctly, is joining the wires right, is connecting the pipes properly. Some of the things you are building your ladder right. One of the things you do when you're praying, when you're studying, when you're living, when you're obeying, those are the things you do. Like I said on Saturday, is this Saturday or the one, previous one? That you are building a nest for the rest of God. That every time you obey, remember we talked about the bird. That he lays one stick, a small stick after another. That after he has put the frame of the stick, start putting straws. That each time you learn a word and you focus on that word till obedience comes out of you, what you are doing is you are laying down a piece of that nest that's where the rest of God will be kept for you, where you will enter into God's rest. That because those who did not enter into the rest, what happened? What was the reason? It was through disobedience. Thank you. And that disobedience is a matter of unbelief. You know, we said that. We said that each time you obey, you lay down a stick. Each time you obey, you put a piece of straw. You're building a nest for the rest of God. Okay? So, anytime you are getting things right in life, you are creating the proper channel, which is the reason why God said in Isaiah chapter 40 that the glory of God wants to be revealed. Now, I'm paraphrasing and trying to explain something. The glory of God wants to be revealed, and when it's revealed, every eye will see it. But so, what do you do? Right now, why the glory of God cannot be revealed is because what? The terrain is very irregular. It's not straight. It's tortuous. It's rough. So, what do you do? He said you will bring down the hills, elevate the valleys. As a result, you make a smooth path. Then the glory of God will be revealed. That's Isaiah chapter 40. Do you get it? You know why I'm saying so? Many times, I keep on saying this. In the lives of Christians, we don't get the praise completely right. And once you don't get it right, you obstruct a lot of blessings. You obstruct a lot of, I'm looking for a word. I don't want to use the word blessing. You obstruct, okay, I have a good word. You obstruct purpose. You obstruct what God wants to do. Please, can I go back to the issue of marriage for a moment? Christian marriage, all right? please, remind me what last thing I said, that if you don't obey, the pipe is not correct, the wire is not correct, the road is not correct, you understand? If you don't get it right, the same thing. Just remember, that's the last thing I said. Let me get back to Christian marriage for a moment. I'll say this again. Marriage is, after looking at it, now, I said this thing long ago, I've not changed my mind. Eh? You know the prominent Nigerian the other day that said something, I don't want to mention his name again. He said he feels sorry for men with one wife, that men that have one wife each. How many of you heard it? You read it? Yes. And he has how many? Okay, so the argument is whether it is 4, 5, or 6. And we all agree there are plenty. Okay? And he's feeling sorry. Of course, the last one he had is giving him a lot of headache right now. And he's saying, Kai, how sorry it is for men that have only one. Because you know what he's saying? This trouble this one is giving me, I just drive her away. I have 3 other ones to give me peace. You know that? That's what he's saying. One man, there was a problem that happened in Lagos some time ago. They interviewed one man, a neighbor. I think a woman killed her husband when they were quarreling or something. Either she stabbed him or shot him or something. It was in the news that time. So they now interviewed one of the neighbors. The man said, this is a problem when a man decides to marry one wife. And now I wish you had seen the video. He was very serious about it. He said, 2 wives, that's the best. He said, I would never advise my son to marry only one wife. I don't argue with him. You know why? One man or one woman just killed the husband or wife now. And as far as he's concerned, the problem is what? They had only one. And he was just advising us. Pastor Banky, I've told you. It wasn't me personally, but they showed in the news. So the man said, no. He said, I will never advise my son to marry only one wife. Even Jesus, when he talked to the disciples, Peter said the same thing. He said, look, let's just get it clear. It is better not to marry at all. So let me now make the statement I've made again and again. That marriage is such a bad idea. Only God could have invented it. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Only God. There's nobody else. Nobody can invent something that bad and you still be standing. Only God. See, you've heard men talk now. One man said, sorry for those. He has 4 or 5. That's what men will invent. One man said, I will never advise my son to marry one wife. Is that not, am I not being reasonable here? Peter, is that not what he said? When Jesus said it, Peter said, oh God, this is a bad idea. Peter and co, the all of them said, in that case, see, he said, if this is the way it is, boys, let's just agree. There's no need to fight over this matter. Since, you know, they couldn't argue with the Lord. So he didn't say it was compulsory. He just said, this is how it's supposed to be. So they all said, we are not doing. Now, do you think what I said makes sense now? I mean, like, do you understand me now? Yeah, humanly speaking, it's a bad idea. Only God could have invented it. It's humanly a bad idea. However, when God decides to do something like that, you can be sure he has a plan. I'm not talking about his plan. What I want to talk about, the flow of power to make his plan real. If you want what God planned for it, brethren, don't mix it with village ideas. It will spoil it. You know, when my wife's car was still fresh, so one day, our bro, Ude, he took the car to go and service. So I said, so he told me the kind of oil that he wants to use. When I heard the price of the oil, like, are you trying to buy another vehicle? Do you understand? So I said, just use the one that I use for my own car now. I mean, it's about the same age. The car is good. And I'm not complaining. Just use that one. I think it's okay. It will work. So he said, all right. He said, okay. That one is slightly cheaper. You know, it's more godly. You know, it's kind of in line with ministry. Do you understand? So he now called me from his workshop. He said, sir, there's a problem. I said, what is it? He said, the manufacturers, they put a label on the engine, bold in red, that do not use any other oil for any reason. Did you get what I said? That particular one, that they said, this is the only oil, and they put, you know, Initially, he understands. He's an engineer by training. He knows. You know, he reads book a lot on these things. So he felt that, okay, what Oga said makes sense. I mean, these people, he said that that's just because, you know, the weather, American weather can get cold. So they need oil that will remain fluid at very low temperatures. So we said that this is Africa. We don't need such high grade oil, that kind of cost. That can be, it's not fluid. We're going to drain after some time. Somebody's going to pay. Do you follow what I'm saying? And on top of that, you won't just use 1 gallon, use more than 1 gallon. So that's how we were using our poverty minds to reason. Until he got to his shop and he opened the engine. And those guys had written a warning boldly that this is the recommended oil. On no account should you use any other one. We don't care whether you are driving in Sahara Desert. Are you going to, you know, our own logic is this is warm. This is not cold weather. They said no. They didn't write Sahara Desert. I'm the one saying Sahara Desert. They said on no account. So he called me from there and said, Oga, wahala deo. We have to get what they said. What do you think I said? Of course. Many of us will go and buy marriage from God. Then look at the oil that's recommended, decide it is expensive. Then we'll go and buy the cheaper oil, put it. It works for some months. Until one day you're on the highway here. Then you put up the engine, try to start the car. It doesn't start again. Warning has stopped working. It has hooked your engine. The mechanic comes and says, we have to buy a whole new engine. And that whole new engine, you will use the amount of money that is required to buy oil for like 50 years or 100 years because you wouldn't listen. So you go and marry, you come to church, and we, the people of God, will tell you, well, in the name of the Father and the Son, and you agree. And then you go home, you now go and import your village oil to lubricate your marriage. Do you get my point?
Yes, sir.
You go and lubricate introduce your grandfather's ideas to lubricate a marriage that God made, which we already agreed is not a very wise, humanly speaking, arrangement. When you find that kind of engine, do you get me? I'm giving the label of God now, because they don't use any other ideas except for the one you find in scripture. That's why I use my wife's car as an example. I learned a lesson that since then, I know the limit to my, I think poverty has its own problem. Let me tell you one of the things poverty does. It makes you think you are wiser than the manufacturer. Do you know that?
Yeah.
Shouldn't be having ideas. And around here, we have a lot of useless mechanics who will agree with you. Oh, guy, no mean. Now, so nobody said with it. Oh, my father. You go to camp, when they are done with you. You think Mercedes-Benz and Toyota engineers should come to Enugu camp to come and learn. They say, it doesn't matter. No be so. Ah, you're like, excuse me. How can it not be so? Did you make the car? Okay, if you like it like that, now you get money. The one you say, may I use now? Do you know how much they're selling it? Is it your money? They will help you spoil your vehicle. Because they have more sense than the Japanese engineer. See, let me just tell you, those Japanese engineers, they have a lot of sense. There's nobody in camp. that knows as much as they do. Please, let nobody, these days, everything is online. Let nobody give you ideas. Even if they are good, if that guy is very good, go and manufacture your own car, I will buy it. But right now, you are going to follow what Mercedes-Benz says, what Honda says, what Toyota says. If that's the car I'm driving, to the letter. Don't tell me it doesn't matter. That's how you'll be driving on the highway. You just say, boom, motor don't catch fire. Are you following my point? Back to what we're saying. Brethren, your village people cannot have as much sense as the person who manufactured this thing. If God said this is how he wants it done, brethren, please. Do it like that. Let me just say this to you. As a Christian, you know, I said you should remind me of where we were. Make up your mind. People say, success. I said, no, Lord, I didn't come to this life to succeed. I came to this life to obey you. If obedience to God leads to failure in the eyes of man, may it be my portion in Jesus' name. Yeah, it's a prayer you should pray. Let it be the only thing I can brag on. Is that I obeyed the Lord. What it results in? No, that's not my own. People have obeyed God and they've been beheaded.
People have obeyed God. They've left very rich environments. And they've gone into very poor environments. And it was obedience to God. Give me a name.
Moses.
Thank you. Obedience took Moses from royalty, from living in a palace to living among slaves and then to living in the wilderness as a shepherd. In case you do not know, when Moses was raised, the way Moses was raised, go and read your Bible, the Egyptians despised shepherds. That's what the Bible says. When they came later, when they came earlier, do you remember? To meet Joseph. He separated them because they were shepherds. And the Bible says Egyptians despise shepherds. So you raise a man 40 years in the height of luxury, royalty, then you demote him to being a shepherd because of obedience. I've been warning you, all this result mentality, leave that nonsense. This is a result. There's nothing like it. Your job in life, one day I told brethren, God didn't call us to succeed. I learned it from somewhere actually. I think it was Oswald Chambers. All right? That God did not call us to succeed, though. He called us to obey. Putting success in front of you is idolatry. Your own idea must be, how do I make sure I'm obeying the right thing? This idea of you have been in ministry for 25 years. What do you have to show for it? What do I want to show? Have I obeyed for 25 years? Yes, leave it. I don't have to show you anything. Am I going to appear before your judgment throne? Who's going to judge me on the last day? You? There are two brothers. You know their names, but I won't mention. This is one of them. One is a very big name that all of you know. If I mention the name. That they asked the other brother. It's not the same God that called that you and your brother are serving. It's not the same ministry two of you are doing. That's family people asking them questions. Family people. Well, because one is a big man. You know, when they call big men, may not have a private jet, but at least if he's flying around, it's first class, business class, you know, like that. Always flying up and down. Drive the best cars. You know, dines with heads of states and governors and senators. His brother, they just sit down for one side, they preach. So this is the family who asked him one day. It's not the same God two of you are serving. It's like asking Jesus Christ, whether it's not the same God he and John the Baptist are serving. It's like asking Joseph, whether it's not the same God he and Moses are serving. That God took Joseph out of being a shepherd to being a slave to being a high-ranking worker in the house of a high-ranking official to being a prisoner then to being a prime minister. And he was a prime minister from the time he was young, like in his 30s, all right, till he died at over by 120 years of age. That same God, one day, he went the other direction. He went into that same palace, that same country, and took Moses from there and returned him exactly the other way and made that one a shepherd till he died at the age of 122. First, he was a shepherd of sheep for 40 grueling years. Then when he had retired, he had given up on the vision of God. God now said, good, this is time I can use you. And now made him trek in that same wilderness for another 40 years. That guy's life was 40 years times 3. You notice? 40 here, 40 here, 40. The last 40, they are not as nice as the first 40. But let me tell you something. See, let me, please. Steve, I said you should remind us. Oh, well. All right? Don't forget to. Now you are panicking. Don't forget to. In this life, know what to brag about. You know what God said through Jeremiah? Let not the rich man boast of his riches. Let the wise man not boast of his wisdom. He said, let him that boast in one thing. That he knows what? That he knows God. That he knows me. That he knows me that I'm the one that executes justice on the earth. That is what should satisfy you is who you know. There's a reason why David said, I was teaching my family, was it this morning or yesterday? There's a reason why David said a day in your courts is better like than a thousand outside. There's a reason why those men said that. People sometimes talk about results. I said, leave results out. There's one pastor one day he was preaching about, you know, how you need results to show. One of my sons posted something on his status. And I told my wife this morning, we were talking, yesterday night. One of my boys posted something on his status, very interesting. He said, love those who love you. Somebody wrote that. Right? Love those who love you.
He said, if that is so, how will the love start? Did you get the idea? Say, how will the love start? Who goes after them now? Because everybody's supposed to love those who love them. So I said, concerning the person who was preaching, I said, if it is results, no young pastor will have any following. Do you get my point?
Yes.
If you have to have results to show, then the day you start, you're dead. Because the day you start ministry, you have nothing to show me. There was one big clown in this country. False. That guy didn't know God, was not born again, was a juju man, charlatan, magician. My mother used to say that this guy is just a magician now. Yeah, that just does, you know, magical arts, tricks, you know. My mother would watch and say, can't they see that all he's doing is magical tricks? That's what my mother used to say. And people were arguing with me that this fellow is genuine. I said, I'm sorry. What is it that God deprived you of spiritual sensitivity? I said, how can? This is where I'm going. What is it? They tell me just two things. One, they say he's doing what? He's giving food to the poor. That he's doing good works. And number two, he's doing miracles. Let me tell you something I used to tell them. I actually saw a video of him where he was washing toilets. He says he's very humble. I said, you are very stupid. I'm sorry, I have to say it like that. You that made that statement, you're a very stupid human being. You don't have sense. Let me tell you, I wash toilet in my house. I do. So let me be clear. I wash toilet in my house. I mean, it's not because I'm humble. It's because the toilet is inside my bedroom. And my wife kept a toilet brush permanently beside it. It doesn't go anywhere. And many times she kept this thing, what do you call that thing? All this toilet cleaning, this thing. Alright? And if it's not there, there's detergent. And if I decide it is dirty, you know what I do? See, my children, they wash the toilet too. My kids, they are very hardworking. Alright? They wash the bathroom and everything. But the other day, my wife and I said, okay, it's night. Let's go have a bath. She said, this bathroom is dirty. So let me just wash the floor small. Next thing, she was on her knees, scrubbing the floor, looking at her like this. I just said, bath won't come back. So my husband, this place is dirty small. I was looking at this guy, I said, it's night. You see, I mean, there's a time for everything. He said, I already started. And scrubbed the floor, scrubbed the walls, and did everything, and I rinsed it down. If I didn't tell you, will you know? By the time I show it on video, it shows both of us are mad. I don't mean me and my wife. I mean, Steve and me. That's watching the video. Why should you? No, if you saw that kind of video, what should you be saying? Pastor, how far? Why were you videoing it? Don't you wash toilet in your house? Steve. See, he washed this morning. What I've told you now is nothing special. You wash toilet, you do. It's not a matter, it is not humility. Do you know people are saying that he's humble, he washed toilet? I said, what is wrong with you? How did you know? He planted a camera there and did a show. And you are so childish in mind, you couldn't interpret that. She's giving food to the poor. How do you know? From videos he generated? The Bible says, let another praise you, not your own lips. He was praising himself. And gullible people were arguing with me that I can't see good works. Steve, sometimes I vex you. Like right now, I'm vexing Arias. You know why I'm saying all of these things? So I asked them those days. He says, a genuine man of God, I said, come. You've told me two things now. Give good works, just miracles. I said, go and meet disciples of Jesus Christ. Go and ask them why they followed Jesus. The first time they started following him, he had not done one miracle. The first miracle he did, they were present. They were already disciples. Yeah, they didn't follow him because of miracles. The people that started following him for miracles' sake, he didn't like them. In case you never thought about it, think about it now. They were already with him when he did the first miracle. The Bible says this is the beginning of miracles. He did that in Cana of Galilee. It was because the disciples with him needed to take a drink. In case you never knew, he did. Then one day he talked some depth. that sounded so difficult to hear, everybody left. They looked at Peter and Co. Peter being the spokesman for them. He said, you guys, you're not going to go? What did they say? Did they say, to whom shall we go? You are the miracle working man. What did they say? To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. They followed him for the words that he spoke, not the miracles he did. It's the reason why John had them in the first place. John was not doing miracles. And in that famous journey on the road to Emmaus, after he left, what did he say? Did his words not burn in our hearts? They followed the words, not miracles. Not miracles. So when that man was deceiving everybody, I told them, none of you talking, none has ever told me one thing you learned. No. No. You tell me who he gave money to, who he's giving food to. There are things I see, I just say, are you with jokers? If I want to give out 100 bags of rice in this Enugu, Steve, you know me, will you see me there? Will you see me carrying rice and going from one place to the other, and then I'll be the one to carry it and give to the shop? To the house. You know, I'll sit you guys down. I said, Jonathan, you take the lead. This is how you will give it out. Greet them for me. While I give my attention to the ministry of the word and prayer. A lot of people don't know how to judge. They don't know how to judge things. They say, is the one doing... I said, listen, the real men who are doing the good works, they obey Jesus Christ. They don't tell you. Yeah, they obey Jesus Christ. They won't tell you. Where am I going? They followed for what? Words. That's why I told that story. That is the words that are spoken that's most important. Is the words. And you know the truth? You will know. You see, that one, they don't teach people that one. It is born in your heart. That one, you can't be taught. If somebody is speaking the word of eternal life, you see, you know my experience? There's no way of telling you. When you hear it, you will know you heard it. See, when you hear it, you will know you heard it. It is something that nobody can persuade you concerning. Once the word starts coming forth, you will know whether the Spirit is riding upon those words or it is not. I hope you're getting my point. Now, I told you, you will tell me why we went into that. I know where we were. No, that's the second job now. Why did we go into that? Yes. I was saying, well, there's something I love. Along the line of marriage. Anyway, let me just get back to the marriage thing. So, brethren, as believers, okay, I was saying something. Yeah, I know what I was saying. I was saying. So this life, don't be hooked on results. Be hooked on obedience. You will know when the word of eternal life comes to you. Make sure you obey it. Don't judge your life by how much it's accomplished materially. Judge your life by how much obedience was produced as you followed God. That's what I was saying. Judge your life by how much obedience was produced as you followed the word of God. Don't let anybody persuade you. This is how to judge your life. Christian life, one of the things you find in Christianity is waste. Did you get what I said?
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you what I call waste. Imagine the most intelligent person in your class in secondary school. He went to university, studied a course, maybe he did physics. He got a first class. Then he went, did some aeronautical physics. Distinction in masters. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, there are different ways to know. NYSC, maybe he finished his masters before NYSC. It happens sometimes, some schools will allow you to do your masters before you do your NYSC. So NYSC decides to post him to somewhere in Jigawa State. And he goes there. And he gets to his school. And they post him, because he studied physics, they posted him to a school. And it's in that school, he's teaching physics and mathematics. And he's so engrossed. Of course, because he's a Christian, he's teaching Bible also. He's mentoring young people. He even meets a Jigawa sister. And the Holy Spirit is now speaking to him. Do you get my point? She's also a teacher in a neighboring school. Now remember, was the best in your class. First class, first degree. distinction in masters. He's a wizard in physics. Then you now see him 5 years later. He has not left that town in Jigawa State. He's still teaching physics and mathematics and Bible and mentoring young people, he and his wife. But now he has half Igbo, half Hausa children. Did you get my point? You know, 5 years after, now listen to what I'm saying, after NYC, people were not as brilliant as him. People are teaching in universities. They are engineers with top companies. One of them works for Innocent. The other one, they want to do electric cars in China and in America. Do you get my point? They work in oil companies. They have money and prestige. What's the normal thing we'll call him to tell him? You know, you can say it anyway. But in summary, what do you say to him? What do they say? What do they say? Not you. I know you wouldn't say that. He's wasting. That's the word I wanted to hear. Usually they say he's wasting. They say he's wasting. And that's what I've come to tell you today. One of the things about Christianity is waste. Lives are wasted. That's what God does. Because if you leave that place, I will kill you on the highway. Waste there. Waste. What will it produce? I don't care. Just waste there. I want to waste you. That's what I like. Is the life your own? It's not. It's whose own is you? You gave your life to who? To Christ. The intelligence, is it your own? Can you manufacture a brain? Can you cause the brain to remain in order? No, you can't. I've seen too many brilliant people that have gone crazy. Too many. Listen. I studied medicine in university. The school I went to, we did a full course, a full posting in psychiatry, both junior and senior posting. I've seen all kinds of things. I've seen geniuses who went crazy in their ingenuity. Being geniuses. Yeah, I still remember one very well. Playing table tennis, half dazed on his antipsychotic drugs. Yeah, one way university. And I remember our senior registrar told us, that guy is very brilliant, very, very brilliant. One of the most brilliant human beings I ever worked with, my wife, he still calls her now from a rehab center. I joke with her. I say, you've adopted a son. He worked for her for just a brief period. Many of you may have seen the video. You may have seen, there was one young man that just went, took his turn, started breaking glass of high-end cars. I don't know if you saw the video that time. Yeah. If you saw that video, that's the young man I'm talking about. After they arrested him, at the end of the video, they had arrested him. He called my wife from the cell, they put him inside. I told my wife, don't go there. Before they said, come and replay. I said, don't go there. Let his family people go first. When they know who the family is, then you can now help them. Brilliant. But he couldn't keep his brain together. So don't insult the Lord. When he keeps your brain intact, you're not telling him that you are wasting here, obeying him. I've told you, your life is about obedience. It's not about achievement. It's not about achievement. It's obedience. If you can beat your chest that I did what the Lord wanted me to do with this life, what he produced is, doesn't matter. I don't have those struggles anymore. There was a time I used to have some of those struggles. So, that is, you see a lot of things come in front of you. I say, no, this is why I came to this city. Let's focus on it. Get rid of every other distraction that want to compete for my time. So let's put our eye on one thing. One of our brothers, very good friend, all right? He said, sir, I'm praying you will achieve this. I said, if you make that statement in my ears again, I promise you under God, I will never speak with you again in this life. You know, Tom Reverend used to say that there are things you need to fight over. I fought over them so that you won't mistakenly bring it in my hearing again. I'm going to tell you that you are wasted. What is waste? Because what do you call waste? Christianity, waste is part of it. I first heard that message preached by, I think it was Watchman Nee. Yes, I think it was Watchman Nee. And it was describing the alabaster box. See, that's how you deal with the Lord. It's precious. You know, Montaigne, man. I'm sure you said things like that. You know, you used to have perfumes that are very costly. They are still there. This now, there'll be 1.5 million naira a bottle. Is that not so? Yes, now. That was one of the perfumes. Those guys, instead of doing the way we normally do, just rolling it small. She went there, bam, struck it on the floor, allowed it to drip on the Lord. That's what Chimamanda was in to preach. She broke it. Pure nerd. They gave us the cost. In today's Naira, you can do a small measurement. It's like 8,000 times 300. What is that? 2.4 million. Yes. As at 2025 Naira. That's what it would be, that bottle. Because it was worth 300 denarii. One denarius was a working man's daily wage. That's how I did the estimate. And she broke it and poured it on him once. Judas said, Omo. Omo. Truth to the Lord. I can assure you, the other disciples too, they were not too far behind. He said, sir, could we not have sold this? Could we not have made this young woman an engineering professor in the university? Could we not have sent him to go and do advanced, you know, robotics so that he will be an engineer in NASA? Why is it that we kept him teaching secondary school physics and mathematics in a, not even a major town, not Dutse, in Jigawa? I told you there was a young woman, they told this, and she listened. And God said, Ichabod. She fell sick and died. Hey, again, do that. Success is not what we're looking for. Obedience is our focus. Success is an addition. What human beings call success, our own success, is that we fully carried out what he prescribed, even if it lands us on the cross. Success for us is that we fully carried out what he prescribed. Success is that we fully carried out what he prescribed. What he produces is not part of it to us. I said with marriage matter. So if you are going to get what God packaged when he created marriage, please learn everything that he said. No matter how. Okay, that's what I was saying. That's why I went into that. And I remember how I got along that night. I'm going back now. You know, don't validate your obedience through the material production. That's what I'm saying. Don't. There's a spirit that goes with it. There's a word that burns. If you obey that word, leave it. And I was saying, so as Christians, just take satisfaction in that I obeyed God. The man said, sorry for those who marry one wife. Good. Marry one wife. Now, I'm not guaranteed it will produce something better than his experience. That's what I'm saying. Even though it will, but that's not what I'm trying to emphasize on. Even though it will, but let me not sit on that. What I'm sitting on is the fact that at least at the end of your life, you will say, I did it the way God wanted it. Have you heard this song before? I did it my way. There's some popular secular song like that. I did it my way. Who knows it? I did it my way. Thank God you who don't listen to such nonsense. The Lord will bless you. All right. But I said, look, brethren, it's not in my way that we are going for. I did it God's way. Once you know you did whatever it is God's way, please, that is your result. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Your result is that, did we fully accomplish what he said? Yes. Did you fulfill every word he spoke? Yeah, and then leave it. So don't be afraid. That's where I began from when I went to marriage matters. Don't be afraid to take a risk with your life. That risk Peter was afraid to take it. After all, Jesus encouraged you to take it. Jesus encouraged you to take it. In this life, just see, you will give your life up to one nonsense. That's what you must do. Some people are giving it to Igbo. Yes. Some people have been giving it to useless, chasing women up and down. One day, this guy, they call Charlie Boy, unrepentant creature. The guy is like 70 or so. He was now talking about life. I laughed at him. I said, see, you can never disprove God. He said, when he was young, that he was sleeping with anything. He was sleeping with women left, right, and that he had children by all kinds of women. I did not even know. He was doing a video. He said, now, wow. You know, he's always looking young. Because, he has a smooth face because of, who knows why? Botox. He does Botox. It doesn't hide it. You know what they call Botox? Now, wow. You don't know Botox. I thought young women usually know this like this. Do you know BBL? Are you not? You don't know Botox. Botox is an injection. It's a very powerful toxin it kills, but they've diluted it very, very low. All right? They inject it into facial muscles. It wipes out wrinkles. One of the reasons why you wrinkle is the strain of the muscles. So there's a way they inject into muscles. So your muscles fully relax. It has a small problem that your expression of your face will also reduce. Because the ability to squeeze your face, do that, can show minor expressions. It's dependent on those muscles. But you kill the muscles, so your whole muscle will relax. Yes, it's a well-known beauty treatment. People use it. One of the reasons why people like it, rather than facelift, is because it wears out after like 3 months, 4 months. It doesn't last forever. Your muscles keep on getting replaced. All your parts of your body, they are always replaced. So when those ones are replaced, the muscles will come back. So you go back for Botox injections again. But just by the way, those who want to go crazy like that, that thing is very toxic. So you don't go to places where they are not certified and you know where they are getting their supply for before they paralyze your, not only your face, your diaphragm. That's what kills. Some people eat, you know what they tell you, just to teach you small health. You know what they say, canned things, if you buy a tin product and it's swollen, you know you're not supposed to eat it. You are aware of that. Now please, don't eat it out of boldness. Never try it. Don't. Please, I beg you, don't. The toxin inside that causes it is so deadly. There was a time, a few years ago, we were called to attend to a matter. All right? 8 people died after a wedding somewhere that Nikki Lakeside. Yeah, 8. That's what happened to them. And it's very difficult to treat. Very, very difficult. It's one of what they call orphan diseases. That is so rare. Treatment, nobody funds treatment. So to get the antitoxin is extremely difficult. Why did I talk about that? The guy, I just like to educate you a bit, all right? Just like to educate you. So that's what Charlie Boy does. He takes Botox. That's why his face keeps looking like that. You won't know how, that he's over 70 now. So he was not talking, he was about 70 that time. Last year or 2 years ago, when he was saying this. He said, dad, he did this, he did this. He said, this is how he lived his life. He said, now, he's one who does not rise again. No. He's the one that said, it's not me, oh. I laughed. I said, so he has discovered mortality. I said, oh, so you are discovering mortality. But you know, he still proudly described that he gave his life to lasciviousness. He still proudly says it, that he gave his life to sexual immorality. With pride, he said, that is where I'm going is that he gave his life and he's not ashamed of it. In this life, you have to give your life to something. And I'm telling you, the problem that a lot of people, they give their life to the Lord, and it's not total. It's half. It's negotiation. I will serve you, go bless me, but I get things where I won't do. Yeah. And you know the funny thing? You know Jesus doesn't accept that. He doesn't accept it. He doesn't accept it. So they like to hear the gospel of what to do to get what. Then you live your life normally. I'm sorry to say this. Anytime I say this, people won't like it, Pastor. That's why a lot of people like tithing. Because it gives them freedom to do what they like with 90%. If they, you know, Pastor Craig will tell you that, look, he knows my opinion. But he will say that those who want to follow Banky, please follow him well. Don't use him to defend your responsibility because I know the man very well. And I've heard him say it in my presence many times. And my argument a lot with that, I said, you keep on talking, and really, the times I think of some people, I say, the reason why you are this strict about this, your tithing thing, is because you like to be free with the 90. And what I'm preaching is that you can't be. You cannot be. That's what I preach. Someone said that, hey, Pastor Mark doesn't want Christians to prosper. He said they should not give. Don't let me turn that to fire your teeth. I never said that. What I just keep saying is that don't buy freedom. It's not good for you. Don't think you've settled the Lord. Because indeed, factually, reality, he owns 100%. You cannot tell me I've given him 10%. No, you can't. There's no logic in scripture and New Testament to defend it. The argument of that belongs to your local church is not in the Bible. It's an arrangement. However, if you are committed to that local church and you do what I say, that church will enjoy you. If you are really committed, you get to church. Pastor say, like, Judah, were you the one saying that? Praise the Lord. Was it you? Say, a lot of churches. Where's Elder John? Why are you looking behind? How many Johns do I have here? You know what I'm talking about. I'm yapping you. You know what I mean. Okay, Reverend Felix beside you, two of you. Two of you give me the worst microphone I've ever used in my life. According to Nigerian, the two both of you. So maybe you go to a church. In this kind of point. One day, pastor go. You know, after some time, you will meet pastor. Please see, what is the problem? To be honest with you, microphones, don't ask you that. They are very expensive. They are very costly. Good quality speakers. When they tell you the price, you like, who's doing the preaching? Is it the microphone or me? Even me, I didn't pay this amount for my mouth. But you know, there's always something will move you after a while. You will call brethren in church. I beg. This suffering of our pastor is enough. It doesn't have to be your tithe. That's what I preach. It's just pinning you. Do you get it? I mean, it's just pinning you that how can we continue to live like this? That sense of unity with something that is going on is what commands how you spend. Not that I've given God his portion. But listen, let me tell you, this life, that's Christianity. Just make up your mind. You will follow, before I say that. This life, you must follow something well. Otherwise, you won't make it there. You must follow something well. Otherwise, you won't make it there. And in this life, we are Christians. We have made up our mind to follow the Lord. Follow him and follow him completely. Even when he wastes your life. He finishes training you as a lawyer. And he decides to make you a wife that stays at home, takes care of kids, and volunteers in church. And you are the you know, that's one of the things that, oh God, he pays me for brethren. When they are feeling too brilliant. Brilliant people have their own problems. Do you know that? Yeah, it puts pride, entitlement mentality. It's very common among my colleagues. Very common. If you see the way a lot of my colleagues look down on politicians, I say, that's why people will never make it. When somebody was talking to me, he said, all these boys, quarter boys. I said, that's why they are your governors. That's why they are your senators. That's why they are your House of Rep members. And yeah, your father was a touch person. They are making the laws by which you move now. Just pride. Yeah, I still remember the person saying, when we're talking, it was going on in this country. All those boys, those days that were growing up in their boys' quarters. I said, hey, do you read the Bible? I don't think you do. I don't think you do. That is why if any boy is growing up right now in your boys' quarters, show him love, show him respect, show him honor. Because one day he's going to be your president. That's the sin of a lot of brilliant, privileged people. They feel entitled, and life does not respect your sense of entitlement. It doesn't. It doesn't. Life does not respect. Father can be a professor. You can be the genius of the family. I watched one video the other day. They said this guy is arguably, of course, we can't say such things accurately, but they say he's arguably the most brilliant human being that ever lived. His IQ beats that of Albert Einstein by their calculation. Do you know what? He can't do a decent job. His mother is a genius, university professor. His father, something like that, physicist, stuff like that. That's their family. Now, the two of them, the ingenious part of their genes, the most brilliant part of the father's gene and the mother's gene was put together to produce this boy. A boy doing PhD mathematics at the age of 11. Yeah. He was doing PhD level mathematics 11, 12. But his whole life, you know the only job he could do? Post office clerk. Yes. Post office clerk. That kind of job. Sorting letter. Riding motorcycle to go and deliver. Yet, they said this guy's brain. The person who did the video said they don't believe a more intelligent human being has ever lived that human beings are aware of. What came out of his life? Nothing. One day he died, I think it was 30 something or 40s. Died of poverty and hunger. And yeah. Yes.
He couldn't just settle to do anything serious with his life. And it was paining people. It's the kind of brain you think will lead everybody to Mars. But he died, I think, in one park bench. Or they've discovered him in the house living alone. A genius of a unique order. So stop feeling too important with yourself in this life. Let God humble you and humble. No, sorry. God, don't let God humble you, please. It's a bad thing. Nah, God, please, I withdraw that. Humble yourself before God starts the job. Humble yourself. I know you have to. Before God starts the job, you have to humble yourself. Because if he starts it, you won't like it. What am I saying? This life, see, why did I say all of this? So that if you want to follow the Lord, don't be afraid. The worst that will happen that you will not be rich. That's the worst. You won't go hungry, but you won't be rich. The worst that will happen that you won't be able to be. You know Buga, you know they call it Buga. And you don't need it anyway. That's the worst that will happen. Make up your mind, you are going to follow the Lord entirely, wherever he leads. Where will he lead? I've already established along the line. Did his words not burn in our hearts when he spoke to us? Didn't even know it was Jesus Christ. Yet as he was speaking, the words were burning. Do we give you a word that will burn in your heart? You will know. So I don't need to explain that, but just have in mind that, Lord, whatever instructions you send to burn in this heart, that's what I will follow in my life. I'm not seeking to preserve my life. I just want to expend and use and waste and completely pour it out on you. That's what I want to do. I want to completely. So at the end of the day, like I said, you know, I say all the time, so that when I die, they will write on my gravestone that here lies a man who lived completely sold out to the Lord. Think about Nigeria Christian history. How many people are as honored amongst us believers as Pa Elton? Sidney Elton. How many of us in history now are as honored as that man? Very few. His daughter died a few days ago. How many weeks ago now? Is it up to 2 months? But this year, 2025, that is the third quarter of this year. That's when the woman died. Her father came when she was a little girl. Came with her mother. And all the woman did was to help the man do his work in this country where God sent them. He lived his whole life and poured it out on the church in Nigeria and died in this country. Lived his life, and without doubt, a shadow of doubt in my heart, I don't have a shadow of doubt. A lot of the revivals we saw in this country was tied to his coming. A lot of these are big churches, big pastors here and there. Is it Adeboye? Is it WF Kumi? Bishop David Oyedepo? He influenced them directly. In fact, directly, all these ones. I met one elderly man. He's late now. All right. When I went to Kaduna the other day, some years ago, when the man was still there. He said he used to dodge by LT. He said it's as if the man could see through you. So, if you hear he's coming, you start checking everything you have done. This man is a professor of surgery. Yeah, he's a professor of surgery. He said that when the man comes, when he's looking at you, you're just like, God, I'm in trouble. He said, so when he's coming, they literally used to dodge. So, don't be looking at Steve, don't look at him. Lest you see the dark parts of my heart. That's how much the man had insight. They were afraid. So he affected people everywhere. We used to didn't achieve with that life. His daughter carried that ministry and carried it forward. How old was she when she died? It was 90 something. Yes. That was just a few months ago. And of course, remember my favorite story along those lines. B.D. Chambers, the wife of Oswald Chambers, deep teacher of the word, died around 1918, thereabout. That's around the time he died. The man had deep insight, but there were no tape recorders, and he was not writing books. Prepare sermons and teach those sermons. And
all that woman lived for, it seemed, was to follow him for those few years of his life, because he died rather early, mid-40s. He was gone for decades till now. We are still enjoying the products of his life because she married him. Because she was a master stenographer. She could pick everything he was saying. She was so phenomenal, according to the daughter, when I saw the interview. She was phenomenal. Could write faster than you could talk. So she wrote down the things that he was saying. She wanted to work in Aso Rock in their country. She wanted to work for the Prime Minister, British Prime Minister. That was her dream. But God said, I have something more important for you to do. Go and marry that boy. You know what our friends would have said? It's all of this. Waste. But all the things they wrote for the British Empire now, we don't know the other ones. How many of them are reading them? How many of us are reading them? But this one, the thing she wrote as her husband spoke, literally hundreds of millions of people have read those books. So there's nothing wrong with wasting your life. I've learned that one. I want to improve the waste. If you know what I mean. Let me focus. I don't care. Like, I remember the young woman that I told came to my office one day, say, you're just wasting away in this country. That young, brilliant people like you should go over there to go and become what? Another of the plenty doctors that they have. Some of you may have noticed that I love Enugu. I don't like going anywhere. Yeah, because I like teaching here twice a week, the way I do. The only one that's spending minutes, I've not been writing. And I'm talking to my wife the last few days, trying to make some adjustments now to free my time to be able to go back to my writing. I wrote until she married me. I confused that with my writing. Well, it's good confusion, isn't it? She told me she has never regretted it. The Lord is good.
All the time.
I said the Lord is good.
All the time.
It was marriage we talked about briefly. So follow the Lord, that's what I'm saying. Whatever he tells you to do, what? Do it. Whatever he has packaged inside there, you will find it. Don't use the engine oil of your village to run the Lord's expensive engine. That engine is very delicate. You know what? One of the most high performance production cars in the world, one of the top ones. You remember that one? Bugatti. What they call it? Bugatti. What is the current one there? You know, there's Bugatti Veyron, there's Bugatti Chiron. Which one? Judah, which one is the current one now? You don't know. You've not bought in a long time. You're waiting for the new model. Eh? In recent times? Okay. He hasn't bought in recent times. It's not too expensive. Just like $2.5 million. It's okay. Do you know when they went to change the oil? It's in a filtered chamber. You can't even use one in Nigeria. Go, you service it. The oil is a different type. They drive it into a chamber and seal it. Because of the performance, not a speck of dust must go near. Yeah. An engine made by human beings. The point about those guys, people just buy it to be looking at. Just where I can tell Steve, my car is bigger than his. Because every small millionaire buys Ferrari. They buy Lamborghini. So I have to show Steve that me and him are not both millionaires. Some of us are billionaires. Like me and Judah now. Judah has not bought in recent times, according to him. The Lord is good. Where I'm going is that the Lord's engine in your life is to be treated with more seriousness. The engine has to be pure. It has to be his word. And that thing he has packaged, like I say all the time, God has his sense, perfect sense of justice. He knows what he's doing. Obey him. Just obey him. You will discover what he packaged that men are afraid to enter into. When we want to follow our sense, we always lose out. Adam and Eve decided to follow their sense. They ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that's it. They messed a lot of things up. They will never find out, of course, you know, so to speak, what was hidden in that tree of life. Because God drew them away and got cherubim, I think two of them, to guard the entrance with flaming swords. The place was destroyed during Noah's flood. And I think that's when it was wiped off. They will never find out what was inside there. But the one they thought was sweet, where Satan came and told them, they saw the trouble after. In the short while, their children were killing each other. Steve, I finished that one. All the spirit is saying is, don't do. Let's go back to the message for today. Give me now. Ah. Even you are not thoroughly lost. I know where I was. You don't know where. Huh? Leave Steve. Hoping I better help me. Steve doesn't sleep well these days. Can you believe that Steve is trying to breastfeed? But it's not working. The Lord is good. Yeah, so, okay, I just look at my time. I didn't even know we had stopped for that long. Okay, so you know what we're going to do? I'm going to start it again next time. But let me tell you what I was trying to say, all right? That we have to believe right. What I wanted to talk about was what?
The praise of God.
Thank you. You heard me right. I want to talk about the praise of God in the days of evil. Yes. And what I was trying to explain is that we often miss that praise. And when you miss that praise, the flow, the wires don't join correctly, the pipes, yes, the levels is uneven. The ground level is uneven. So the glory cannot move over it. So we have to get our praise right, even in the days of evil. What we have done is to, as Christians, now please, I'm not talking about people of the world. As believers, we have wrongly done more of praising the devil, which is wrong, ascribing all the greatness to him. Even when God says, I'm the one that's doing these things. And it's important you acknowledge when God is doing things. It's important you understand the power he has in your life. It's very important. Because these days, Christians give the praise to the devil a lot. And the problem with that is that God's power can't flow over that wrong praising. And one of the effects is that when they're supposed to be repenting and pleading for mercy, they are busy rebuking because you can never plead to the devil. He doesn't have mercy with him anyway. Neither will you allow, are you allowed to plead to somebody who's beneath your feet. When you ascribe so much glory to him, he actually starts, you believe it, he starts believing it, and God's hands are folded. There's nothing he can do. There was a time Israel had trouble. And that's, let me just read this and then we'll go with it. We'll just close. I can't start the teaching now. We don't have much time again. Yeah, so we'll leave it this one till next time. Let's just read that scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 32, and then we'll close. From verse 8, when the Most High, for time's sake, I'm going to jump a bit. When the Most High gave the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of man, he set the boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the sons of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the allotment of his inheritance. So they found him in the desert land, in the howling waste of a wilderness. He encircled him, he cared for him, he guarded him as the pupil of his eye. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that hovers over its young, he spread his wings and caught them. He carried them on his pinions or his feathers. Now please notice verse 12, the Lord alone guided him and there was no foreign God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth and he ate the produce of the field. And he made him suck honey from the rock. Verse 15 says, but Jeshurun grew fat and kicked. Then he forsook God who made him and scorned the rock of his salvation. They made him jealous with strange gods. With abominations, they provoked him to anger. You neglected the rock, verse 18, you neglected the rock who begot you and forgot the God who gave you birth. The Lord saw this and spurned them because of the provocation of his sons and daughters. Then he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a perverse generation, sons in whom is no faithfulness. They have made me jealous with what is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their idols. He says, so I will make them jealous with those who are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. For a fire is kindled in my anger and burns to the lowest part of Sheol. and consumes the earth with its yield and sets on fire the foundations of the nations. Now please notice verse 23. I will heap misfortunes on them. For those who say that God doesn't cause trouble, please notice these things. I will heap misfortunes on them. Please, the word is not allow, please. Some people say, I will allow misfortunes. No, I will heap. Elsewhere, he says, I'm about to invent evil against these people. He does it. He says, I will use my arrows. Did you notice that?
Yes, sir.
I will use my arrows on them. They will be wasted by famine and consumed by plague and bitter destruction. And the teeth of beasts I will send upon them with the venom of crawling things of the dust. Outside, the sword will bereave and inside, terror. Both young man and virgin. The nursling with the man of gray hair. I will have said, I will cut them to pieces. I will remove the memory of them from men. I do not fear the provocation by the enemy. That their adversaries will misjudge. That they will say, our hand is triumphant. And the Lord has not done all this. Did you notice that? That is not the Lord that did it. Let me just stop here. He said, that's why I will show them mercy at the end of the day. Said in verse 31, I just feel like reading this. Indeed, their rock is not like our rock. Even our enemies themselves judge this. Let me just stop reading here. I read this to emphasize something. God in the time of trouble, we need to look at his praise. He said by himself, I heap misfortunes on the disobedient children. I use my arrows on them. There are things that happen. We have to know how to give God his praises. It doesn't mean you are settling for evil. You are recognizing that that is where your mercy lies. Time will not allow me to go there, and I will talk about it another time. At a point in time, David sinned against God. And David said, let me fall into his hands, because he's merciful. One reason why you give him his praise is because that is your key to his mercy. Many Christians are busy facing the devil, raising altars against Satan, against witches and all of that. Listen, go and check it. Even when Satan wants to do you evil as a child of God, it's in the scriptures. He has to incite, there's a technical word there, he has to incite the Lord's wrath against you. You have to give God his right praise so that you will never fall. See, this temptation of Satan that I keep on saying is to make you, his aim is to reduce your usefulness in eternal things and obliterate your faith entirely. So even in trouble, when you look at him and say, though he slays me, yet I will trust him, you are maintaining eternal substance in your soul. Let's give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, thank you for this word today. Let's give him thanks. Let's just give him thanks. Let me just take the announcements quickly so we can go. It's taking so much time. Let's just give him thanks. Say, Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Thank you. Lord, we give you praise. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed.
Amen.
All right, the Lord bless you.
Amen.
It's well with you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let's share the grace in fellowship.
Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil. Because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Can you bless somebody beside you? Say, this is your season.
This is the season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. In the name of Jesus.
Another person, this is your season. What about you? This is my season. All right, children, brethren. God bless you.